This morning I'm bringing a message to just continue on with the vision of Stronger, and it's called Strong Faith. But before I get into that, I just want to mention a few things. Didn't Alex do a great job up here this morning? She's your kids pastor. She's brand new leading the kids this year. She's doing a fantastic job. She has actually been faithfully serving for 9 years. So she's a great, great faithful servant in this house. And you know, this year I have wanted to have lots of people on board with reading the Word of God throughout the year. And so I'm doing 3 different Bible reading plans with 3 different groups of people. And it's incredible how the Lord just speaks to you in different ways through His Word. And in the Old Testament, we're currently in the Old Testament, and seeing how in the Old Testament that serving is part of how we are to be in His house. That when you look at the way that the Israelites were given different roles and responsibilities, that is all part of how God operates. And so it was such a revelation for me to know that this is God's design for everyone to serve or have some responsibility in His house. So I would encourage you, if you are not serving in any capacity, get on board. Get on board, because you will be blessed. It is our just delight that we get to serve the Lord in many different ways. And so come and see me. We have needs in kids and cafe, worship, every area. There's always a need. And so when we're all serving together, when we're all together, there's great unity, there's great blessing, and we just have such incredible fun doing it at the same time. Another thing that we're doing this year as part of our stronger vision is that we want to hear more and more of your testimonies and good news of what God has done in your life and how you have actually become stronger in different ways. So we will be sharing more from here, getting more people to share up the front of what God has done in your life. And so if things have happened for you, please tell me, please tell pastors, please tell your ministry leaders, because we want to know what God is doing throughout the year in getting you stronger. Okay, one more thing. Team meeting. It's not next week, it's Tuesday week. I think that's correct. So the 25th of February, not this coming Tuesday but the following one, you have to be there. You don't want to miss it. Team meetings are where you hear of news hot off the press that you don't get in church. Team meetings are a great time for you to receive, to be imparted, and to just enjoy one another's company over a meal. We have fun this year. We want to have more fun, which is why we're having a picnic in the March long weekend. And you will have an incredibly fun time at the team meeting as well. It's a Mexican fiesta, so come dressed up in your Mexican gear. So be there. You're going to be there, right? Yes. RSVP at the info desk. Okay. Let's pray before we start. Father God, we thank you that our faith is continually strengthened as we press into your presence, into your word, into all that you are. And Father, this morning I pray for your people that they would receive a word from you that is going to strengthen their faith and their trust and their belief in you. God, that you are going to strengthen your people, Father, in both locations. Lord, as we are committed to stand strong in you. Father, let your word go forth and be received in the hearts of your people this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this message is literally strong faith. Strong faith. You know, my heart is that all of you will just have such a strong faith this year, that you will go from strength to strength. You know, as one of your pastors, I have become more aware that we are fighting spiritual battles, and so you know, the responsibility and the authority that this position carries means that I'm actually in battle for all of you and for those people in the community, and just putting on the armor of God and standing firm on His word and His victory that we have in Jesus Christ, and actually praying and declaring victory over your lives as well, for your situations that you are facing. And so my prayer and heart is that you would also be stronger in your faith in him, in your knowledge of his love for you, of his power that we have in Jesus Christ, the authority and the power that is in his word. And for you to hear his voice and to know his visions that he has for each one of you for this year, for the situations that you are going through. And so this morning I'm going to take you through a few different stories in the Word of God, but it actually just shows that there's so many stories, there's so many revelations, there's so many indications of how we have faith in his word, of how we have faith in his power, how we have faith in his voice, and how we have faith in his visions. And so as we continue our series on our vision this year of stronger, that these four characteristics of the power of God in being strong in your faith, that you will be stronger and stronger and stronger. God will always want to take you into a deeper faith and trust in him and knowledge of him. So let's start from Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2. Faith, what is faith? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people of old earned a good reputation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is having faith in something and confidence and trust in something that we cannot see yet, but we know it will happen. And Hebrews 11 continues and talks about all the different people of faith. It talks about how God spoke the universe into existence from nothing to a whole universe created by his word, by faith. It talks about how Abel gave an honorable offering to God by faith, how Enoch was taken by God. He disappeared without dying, going up straight to heaven because he pleased God. And we know that we cannot please God without faith. It was by faith that Noah built the ark. That just amazes me, that by faith Noah listened to the voice of God with the specific instructions of how to build this massive boat in preparation for what was to come. Though he couldn't see that yet, by faith he obeyed and he did what God asked him to do. It was by faith that Abraham left his homeland and lived by faith in the land God promised him. Hebrews 11 continues on to talk about people who were tortured because of their faith, who experienced great persecution and suffering. But they endured that because they knew that their hope was in their eternal home, which is what we have in heaven. And so whilst they could not see that yet, they had confident hope in their eternity that they would have with Jesus. And so any earthly sufferings that they would experience here was nothing in comparison to the hope that they had for in heaven to come. We need to have faith in his word. Faith in his word. In this word of God. Hebrews 4 verses 12 to 16. Tells us how powerful his word is. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. This word cuts right through. The word is a sword. It cuts right through. It sees. God sees your innermost desires. God sees your innermost thoughts. You can't hide from God. Nothing can be hidden from God. He sees you. And whilst that can be daunting and possibly a little bit frightening that God knows all and sees all, we read on in this passage of Scripture how God responds to us. He says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same things, same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Jesus knows, Jesus understands your weaknesses. Jesus understands everything that you experience and that you're feeling and thinking and going through. And so it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want you to have a revelation that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And that through Jesus Christ making us righteous before God, that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. We are to come with confidence. We are to come knowing that God sees us and hears us and responds with mercy and grace and love. And so whilst you may be vulnerable and exposed and know, God knows, come boldly before him. Come boldly before him and experience his mercy and his love and his grace. And through the word of God, through faith in his word, you can use this word as a weapon. You can use this word to pray through every situation and circumstance. Whatever you're feeling, you pray the word of God. You declare the word of God. The word of God is powerful. The word of God changes situations. The word of God changes people's hearts. And so pray. Pray the word of God. Pray scriptures over your circumstances. Use the word as a weapon. Use the word as a weapon. There's a story in one of the Gospels in Matthew 8 about a Roman official who had faith in Jesus that amazed Jesus. And we see the power and the authority that we have in the Word of God and how the Roman official shows his faith in who Jesus is, knowing that Jesus would just say it and people would be healed. So I'm going to read you this passage of scripture and then I'll unpack the story for you. So you can read this in Matthew 8. I'm actually going to read the story from Luke 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. A highly valued slave of a Roman officer. Roman officers were often known to be very brutal, harsh leaders. And they would treat their people, their subjects, very, very harshly. Yet this scripture says that this Roman officer treated his slaves or his servants as being highly valuable. He saw them as highly valuable. And this particular slave was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." Now just have this picture that the Roman officers were not known to be kind to the Jewish people. Yet in this story, we read that this Roman officer was different. He valued and served his people well. And he also must have had very good relationships with the Jewish people. I mean, he even built a synagogue for them. You can see the character of this Roman officer. And whilst he is stationed at a particular place, he sends these Jewish people to go ask Jesus to heal his slave, to heal his servant. But just before these Jewish people arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you." What a humble, humble man who knew who Jesus was. And then he says a profound statement. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. The power is in the word of God. The power is in Jesus. You don't have to be physically present to pray for Jesus to do something. You can know the power that we have in his word and the authority that this Roman officer knew was in Jesus Christ, that he knew Jesus just had to say the word, just say, be healed. And he knew his slave would be healed. We have the same power that this Roman officer was aware of. We have the same power. There are people that I know who are desperately needing for healing. Whilst I can't physically be with them, I'm praying, Jesus, you heal that person. You heal that person. You soften that person's heart. You bring that person to salvation. Come on, we've got to really press into the power that is in the Word of God. It's alive and powerful. It's sharper than the two-edged sword. And we use it to see the glory of God, to participate in praying His Word, in asking God to bring victory and deliverance and all the things that He wants to do, but He needs you to participate in that. He needs you to know that you've just got to say the Word. He needs you to have faith in his word. He needs you to have faith that he can do what you ask. He can do more than you can ask or imagine. That's what the scriptures say. So powerful. Faith in his word. Faith in his power. It's so great having Pastor Charlie back. And seeing the power of God work through him. Incredible man of God operating the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And this next story is just so fitting to what Pastor Charlie was doing before. This is a story about a woman. We read in Mark chapter 5 that about a woman who had suffered chronically with bleeding for 12 years. Now, it's important that we understand the context that because of the bleeding, she was actually considered unclean. And so she wouldn't have been able to touch other people, otherwise she would have made them unclean as well. And so she had lived a life with this chronic illness. She had spent all her money trying to get a cure to no avail. You can imagine the shame she would have lived under, the discouragement, the disappointment, the loneliness, the isolation. I see this woman as just hiding and just trying to survive each day, but so desperate to be loved and to be healed and to be made whole. And Jesus is amongst crowds of people just moving and bumping him and getting in around him. So many people wanted to get close to him, to get close to the Messiah, to receive healing or something from him. And so we read that this woman, she came up behind Jesus through the crowd and touched his robe. When we research the scriptures, she actually just touched the fringe of his robe, the edge of the tassel, the tiniest amount of his robe. She says, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And she does. And immediately the bleeding stops. Immediately she is healed. And she knows she is healed. She could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. And so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Can you imagine this woman who would have just wanted to be healed and then secretly walk, you know, go away? She didn't want to be noticed or recognized or identified. his disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter," Jesus responds to this woman, "Daughter." How much love can you hear in that word, daughter, identified as a child of God? "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." The power of God, the power of God. We need to have such desperate, desperate need for Jesus, but also in knowing that he has power to bring healing and wholeness. You may be here today, you may be suffering. It might not be a physical ailment. It may be something else that you have been suffering for a long time. Perhaps it's shame. Perhaps it's, I don't know what it is. But today is the day where you can come to the altar. You can come with that desperate need that this woman had, and by your faith receive the healing that Jesus can do for you, the healing that can come from his power through the blood of Christ to you, and to be immediately healed and to go in peace. This woman would have needed to walk out her healing in her life to follow. She would have needed to have convinced people who would have seen her as unclean, untouchable, as someone that was now clean and made whole and healed, and not revert back to the shame or the isolation or the discouragement, but for her to walk in the power of God and the healing that Jesus did for her. And so when you come to the altar today, when you receive that healing that Jesus will do for you, walk in it. Walk in it. Don't go back. Walk in it. Keep walking in his power. Faith in his power. Faith for the impossible to be possible. Faith to overcome. Let's be strong in our faith in the power of God. And the next two points actually go hand in hand, but I have just made a distinction as I want to draw out a couple of things for each of them. Faith in his visions. Faith in his visions. Do you know God speaks to us in visions? When you pray and seek the Lord and spend time in his presence, he will give you visions. You will dream dreams. He will give you visions of your future, of his plans, of his purposes, of the good things that he has for you to do. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will show you visions that are from him. We just need to ask. In Genesis 15, verse 1, this is a story about Abraham. "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.'" This word that came to Abraham, Abraham didn't particularly like. He actually complained to God and says, "Well, what's the point of you blessing my life if I have no children to be heirs to the blessings that you're giving me? What's the point, God? There is no point. It's worth nothing. Worth nothing if I don't have a son." And God could have easily opened up Sarah's womb and gave a son to Sarah and Abraham right there and then. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says this. We read on in verses 4 to 6. "Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham had to wait another 10 years for that vision to come to fruition, for that vision of God to be fulfilled. 10 years. God knows what's best for us. And when we allow Him to speak visions to us, to speak His plans and purposes to us, we can have faith that they will come to pass. Not all the times will they come to pass in your lifetime, but they will come to pass. Moses didn't see the promised land, but the Israelites did get to the promised land. And with Abraham, we see that this vision was not just a son. Look at the stars, God says. This vision was way beyond what Abraham could even have imagined. How many descendants, how many numerous descendants I'm going to give you, God says. Wow. God has good visions for you. Incredible visions, incredible promises. We need to press into His presence and seek Him and hear what those visions are. See those visions. God gave Richard and I a vision for having a larger property. And in our earthly knowledge of our finances, that seemed absolutely impossible. But God gave us that vision. And God gave us that land. And I know that our God is a God who gives land, who gives territory, because we actually take spiritual ground as we are taking physical ground. God turned the impossible into the possible. God has given me a vision this year for stability and for unity in the body of Christ. Stability and unity. And this is a vision that God gave me for the campuses, for the church, as I've just been praying into what Pastor Nigel has been talking about with Stronger. That's what came to me. That we will have stability, that we will be so firmly stable, grounded in the Word of God, unified. This year we are having prayer on a Sunday morning. That is for everybody to come. You come and pray. Just come into the auditorium, 9:30. Come and pray with us. If you've never even done that before, just come. Just come and be a part of it. Come and be a part of it. So that we can be of one spirit. So that we can create such an incredible unity in the body of Christ. Because I know that the enemy wants to cause division. But do you know what? Jesus is our victor. And so we are going to stand. I'm going to stand in the fact and the knowledge that we are unified under Jesus Christ. And we need to keep praying for that, doing that, glorifying God in that. Faith in His visions. What is your vision that God has for you this year? What is His vision for you? Spend time just waiting upon the Lord. Allow Him to show you that vision. It might be something to do with your work or your relationship or your children or your family or your finances or your life choices or the desires of your heart that God wants to give you a vision for so that you can keep holding on to that desire. You keep holding on to that promise that God has given you with knowing His vision that He has for you. And faith in His voice. We read in the Old Testament how the Lord speaks to His people and who by faith listened and did what the Lord said to do. And they walked by faith by staying connected to God, by having an ear to hear God's voice. John 10:27-28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. Do you know God's voice today? How do you hear God's voice? It's having an ear to hear. It's having an open heart to hear, to see, to allow God to speak to you. God put it in my heart that to pray for a son, which I did. I was obedient to that. I prayed in faith for that and then forgot about it and then got pregnant and was in denial, I think, for a few months about the fact that we had to go through this again. But do you know what? That was a prayer by faith that came to fruition. And during that pregnancy, we weren't sure whether there was something wrong with our son, whether the doctors actually said that he might have Down syndromes. And so I was very anxious about whether I could be a good mother to this child if he was unwell or needed special needs, whether I could actually do this really, really well with all the other children that we had as well. And so I spent a few months just in anxiety, looking at research articles, looking at ultrasounds, trying to find how could they make this decision on a measurement of or something that they saw in the ultrasound. And I was riddled with anxiety until I came to a place where I said to the Lord, "You know this child. You know the truth of what is going on inside my womb. And so, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know from you the truth of what is happening." And God usually speaks in the most ordinary of places. But I remember vividly that special sacred moment. I was in a car park driving home and I heard the voice of God, and he said it was just such a simple word, but it was powerful because it spoke to my spirit, it spoke to my heart. And his voice, it was simply, "He's okay, he's okay." And I knew that he was okay. I knew that my son was okay. I didn't need to fear. I knew that he was going to be okay. And through that whole pregnancy, through the birth, through the different visits with the doctors, God continued to bring comfort and his truth revealed through further tests that he was okay. And we have a beautiful, perfect son. Faith in his voice. Faith in his voice. What does God want you to know today? What do you need to hear from God today? You know, when you cry out to him, when you ask him, he will speak to you. He will speak to you exactly what needs to be heard. He will speak truth. He will speak life. He will speak hope. And he will speak faith into your world. When we hear his voice, when we have an ear to hear. Church, can I get you to stand this morning? The Lord wants all of us to be stronger in our faith, in our trust in him this year. To have faith in his word, faith in his power, faith in his visions, and faith in his voice. And our faith is in Jesus Christ. I didn't get to the passage of scripture in Revelation 1, but I would encourage you to read it because it talks about Jesus as the word, Jesus as the power, Jesus as our vision, and Jesus as our voice. And you can read about the transformed Christ, the resurrected Christ in Revelation 1 that John was given a vision for by God himself. And so, church, this morning, as you raise your hands to him, I want to open up the altar for people who need a desperate touch of God, who need a desperate healing today, that immediate healing that woman experienced. Come to the altar, come boldly to the altar to receive that today. Open up your hearts and your eyes and your spirit to hear his voice, to speak to you, to give you visions and dreams, to bring hope and life and a stronger faith for you this year. Let me pray for you, church. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the power and the authority that we have in your word, in your Son Jesus. And I declare that over your people today, that they will have wisdom and revelation to know you more. They would have wisdom and revelation of visions that you have for them. God, I ask that they would hear your voice, that they would know personally the voice of God this year, that you are going to bring your people into a stronger faith and trust in you. God, I declare the power and victory and the resurrection life that we have in Jesus Christ over your people this morning. Pour your blessings upon them. Pour your healing upon them. Give them hope today. God, we thank you for the hope that we have in the things that we cannot see yet, but we have faith for, because you are a good God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.